Welcome to The Worst Week Yet, the least informed podcast on the left. It's a podcast where every week we kind of joke around about the end of the world, but some weeks it's like, oh shit, maybe not the best time, or maybe not even a joke. I'm your host, Andrew Hillary, and I'm joined by my good friend from across the pond, Kennedy Cooper.
The land pond.
Yeah. I mean, what is a flyover state if not just like a lake or something? A lock?
Yeah, the pond, or as some people call it, South Dakota.
If I ever make it to South Dakota, I'm going to be like, it's great to be here in the pond. People are going to be like, that's not what our state is, dude. Kennedy, how are you doing?
You know, okay, I guess.
That's good. That's good. I'm not doing too well.
Yeah.
I'm having a hard time keeping it together. Listeners, we're just tearing down the curtain. Actually, Biscuit already tore the curtain down. He's a kitten. He does that. Yeah. Peek behind the curtain. This has been, for somebody that like nominally follows the news, it's been a pretty shit week. And
yeah.
You know, I've been doing my best to like not let it consume me, but that's not working. My best defenses, not really doing a good job. So naturally, like, I just, Kennedy and I talked. We didn't want to sit down and try and do a full episode. Honestly, this does not feel like a time to make a bunch of silly jokes about random fucking stupid things happening in the world.
Every once in a while you have to kind of pump the brakes a little bit. I'm not necessarily judging somebody who does try to find any humor in the tragedy necessarily, but I can't personally really.
Yeah.
Sometimes we have to take certain stories a little bit seriously.
I agree. I think
Andrew and I just felt in particular that we kind of needed to do something a little different, not do a regular show, and just kind of acknowledge what's going on in the world in a slightly more somber light than usual. And I'm sorry that that's not the usual content.
Yeah.
And that may not be what you're here for exactly.
Yeah.
So
we're not going to go through a bunch of news stories. There's really only one story, that's on everybody's, at least that's on my mind this week. And I mean, it's a tragedy, you know, after more than 70 years, Mickey and Minnie Mouse are getting divorced. And we can't do a regular show whenever something like this happens.
Yeah. This is groundbreaking stuff that will usher in a new era of history.
How am I supposed to sleep it? What do I tell my kids? The house of Mouse has fallen. Okay. Well, I blew my wad on that one.
That's it. That's probably the only bit we've got.
Yeah, that is literally the only bit we've got.
It wasn't all just an elaborate buildup to that point. We actually are really just stressed about what's going on.
Who gets to keep Goofy in the divorce? Wait, is Goofy a Disney guy? I don't even know anymore. Yeah.
So. Why is there a dog that can talk and a dog that can't talk and they hang out together? That's what I want to know.
Fuck. Yeah. So, okay. You got us. That was a joke. Although I will say, you know, before we talk about the situation going on in Palestine, I will say Kennedy and I are, you know, if you're looking for something to take your mind off of what's going on, Kennedy and I are doing Spookytober. So if you go over to the Patreon, we're just talking about stupid horror movies. And, you know, it might be a little more fun than this.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, there's something out there, but yeah, you know, we talked last week and I mean, the Hamas attack had just happened. So, you know, there was a lot of confusion. There was a lot of, you know, just bullshit going around. And, you know, I was heated last week, but like at this point, I'm kind of just like, I'm like really devastated. You know, this situation, like there's just nothing we can do. We just have to watch a genocide happen. And, you know, the people that are in charge of our country, there was like a fucking, I think it was the State Department sent out a letter or like a press or like something to tell people how to talk to the press. And they were like, don't use the word ceasefire or de-escalation. Like, it's not just that we're letting it happen. Like, we're encouraging it and we're trying to punish people for speaking out against it. And it's sickening. Like,
yeah, I saw that, you know, there's an attempt to blacklist Harvard students that spoke out in favor of Palestine from basically every major like corporation, financial institution.
I have friends that have already gotten fired from their jobs this week for speaking out in defense of Palestine. And this should not be the way that things are. And listeners, I have a few Palestinian friends and I reached out to them and I told them, or I asked them if they'd like to come on the show. And, you know, I know that it's like, that's a lot to go through, but I figured like it might be better to have somebody with, you know, the actual perspective, but I don't think either of them, really felt up for having the conversation, which is totally understandable. But, you know, I don't want to be like, I don't want chins to think that, you know, I feel like my voice is even necessary or important, but you know, it's all I've got. And, you know, there's not much we can do, but I'm not going to do nothing. I'm not going to not speak out about this. My birthday was on Friday. I went to a pro-Palestinian, protest, a march. And, you know, I haven't been to a lot of protests since 2020, because like there was just a lot of drama and stuff between different groups and pits. There was a lot of messiness.
Yeah.
But so it's been a while since I've been out to one of those kind of actions, and the vitriol we were met with, there was some fucking like random white guy meathead like barreled through the crowd and just started to try and fight the entire protest. Like, people yelled at us when we were doing the Black Lives Matter marches. Like, there was people heckling, but this dude, like, he looked like he was ready to try and kill people. And it was fucking scary because a random white dude in America, pretty good chance he has a gun on him or whatever. And
yeah,
you know, the organizers were very good. You know, they were like, do not escalate, do not respond to this guy, and like people just kind of like, you know, use their bodies to create space between him and the crowd. But then like as we started marching, he was just following along and screaming the entire time. And nobody there was saying that Israelis should die. They were just saying Palestinians shouldn't. And even that makes people so angry because of the way that our fucking system has like rigged the narrative to say that any opposition to the actions of Israel's government is anti-Semitic. And it's fucking not. It has nothing to do with what God anybody believes in. They are oppressing a group of people.
And furthermore, it's like Joe Biden said much too late today. Most Palestinians are not involved with Hamas whatsoever and shouldn't have to suffer the consequences.
Yeah.
Joe Biden, thanks for saying that a week too late.
Yeah, thanks for saying that after you already endorsed, said that the Israeli government has our full support and sent them $2 billion in military aid. Like, thanks for saying, oh, but by the way, be nice about it. Like,
no one approves of the leadership of Hamas that I know. Hamas is objectively evil and doing evil things. But why is it that I can say that freely, but I can't say that Benjamin Netanyahu, someone who is a fascist, has been a fascist for his whole career, directly helped create the environment that led to the assassination of Yitzhak Rabin, the last labor Zionist leader in Israel to hold power, the last person in Israel that held power that was not in favor of the occupation and did things to push back against it. This is so long ago now that none of us even remember it, because this guy was assassinated in the 90s. And what was Benjamin Netanyahu doing? He was holding parades where they were putting nooses around puppets of this guy and writing his name on coffins and carrying them through the parades. And then a few months after one of these protests where Benjamin Netanyahu called for this man's death, he was assassinated. And Benjamin Netanyahu pretended like he had nothing to do with it. This man is an evil fascist, and he is going to do evil things for as long as he has power. That's only ever been his goal. His goal has only ever been evil ends. And we need to be able to acknowledge that. We need to be able to acknowledge that the average Israeli citizen is not evil and doesn't deserve this, and that the average Palestinian is not evil and doesn't deserve this. And we need to be able to have a conversation about all of these things that is sane and sensible. Because the reality is that while people in America are acting like this is their new TV show, everybody that has to live it is in a horror world that is real.
Yes. And the reason that I didn't, one of the reasons that I didn't want to do a full episode is because of how volatile the situation is and how kind of teetering on the edge that I feel like we're recording this on Sunday. By tomorrow, so many things could be different. But like where we're at right now, Israel is either starting or just about to start, you know, sending ground troops into Gaza. They've talked about they want to use those like bunker buster mother of all bomb things to just level the city. This is, you know, a few days ago they were like everybody north of like the middle of Gaza has to move south, like an exodus of over 1 million people, which is just a fucking ethnic cleansing. Like, it isn't ambiguous. It isn't a tactic to try and fight Hamas. You are trying to ethnically cleanse half of this fucking territory. And again, people say, oh, well, this is a humanitarian situation. You know, U.S. officials are like, we have to respect, you know, the lives of the people that aren't, you know, oh, Palestinians aren't necessarily Hamas. Yet you're endorsing it. You can't fucking have it both ways. You're either against the ethnic cleansing or you're not. And you're not. Because you're not saying Israel needs to fucking stop this. They can't do this. They're doing it with money we give them. Like, we can control that. If we said, hey, we'll cut off the fucking aid, we'll cut off your military funding that we give you if you do this, they would stop dead in their fucking tracks. But no, we are not willing to do that because I don't fucking know why. It doesn't make sense that there is this much of a fucking strong, that we've just sold ourselves out to be this committed to whatever some fucking genocidal maniac in charge in a different place wants to do. It doesn't make sense that we just take our bargaining chip off the table and say, fuck it, we ball. Like, it's sick.
You definitely, you can't look back at all the atrocities of the past and say, well, I would have taken the right side then, if you're not going to do something now. And even if that's just as simple as being willing to speak up on the behalf of Palestinian people,
truly,
you have to be willing to take some kind of stand in this situation, because again, how are you going to look back and say, oh yeah, I was really opposed? And, you know, I think it's easy for people to forget that it's like, there was no ideological battle that beat the Nazis. There was no like talking to them nicely that got them to stop. We had to beat them into submission through warfare to get them to quit. I'm not saying that we need to go to war with Israel, but what I am saying is that because that would be an even worse disaster than what we're already looking at, would be for us to say we're going to go fix the problem. That always works well when the United States does that, right?
Well, Kennedy, we'll circle back to that. I have some bad
news. We'll
circle.
I mean, there's a, unfortunately, I know, but I'm just saying that, like, you know, I'm certainly not proposing anything like that. What I am saying is that, you know, Israel's not going to stop do this because Joe Biden tweeted one thing about how Palestinians deserve to live. You're not going to get them to stop like that. Like I said, or like Andrew said, you know, turn off the military aid and tell them, hey, we're turning off the aid until you agree to behave a certain way in this conflict or whatever. You have to be willing to do something like that. If we're just going to say, yes, here's billions of dollars in whatever you want. And it's just the disconnect too, that's so frustrating, because everybody is on the side of Ukraine right now. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody's like, oh yeah, we gotta support, Ukrainian independence. We gotta support that. Like that's pretty unambiguously something that we kind of all agree on. Like, even if we don't all agree on the whys, the hows, the whats, I'm plenty critical of a lot of the shit going on with the Ukraine situation, but I still want them to have their freedom.
Yeah. Like, I don't think that situation is like good in most, pretty much any way, but like at the very base level of like some Ukrainian lives in a house and a Russian's coming to his town with a gun. Like, I think that Ukrainian is right to fucking shoot that Russian. Like, in that circumstance, like, you know, defending yourself against oppression and occupation, I think is unambiguously the right thing to do. But Israel's not being oppressed or occupied. They are the oppressors and occupiers.
But that's what I'm saying, is like, why, how is it possible that we have all this? Oh, and we know why, it's racism, but I'm asking rhetorically, how is it possible that we have all of this support for the idea of the freedom of the Ukrainian people, but we can't seem to extend that to Palestine? And, you know, I think part of it is, I think a lot of people struggle to hold the complexity in their mind. You know, they need one side to be good and one side to be evil. And for a lot of people, the reason they can hold the Ukraine conflict up in their mind is because they've just decided Russia is evil. And that's like how they're making that whole thing work.
Yeah.
It's a lot more complicated to look at a situation where, I mean, you know, folks, you may know this, or you may not. I'm a Jew. I've got complicated feelings about Israel. I don't think it's necessarily an entirely evil thing. I do think that Benjamin Netanyahu is a fascist, and that he is going to continue to do fascist things for as long as he holds the reins of power, and that they've been gutting democratic institutions to make sure that fascists continue to hold the reins of power in Israel. And I think all of that is acknowledgeable. I think that, you know, it's complicated when you can't just pick one side and say that one's evil. And you can't here. You can't. And that's tough on a lot of people, because you can't just be like, well, Palestine's evil, well, Israel's evil. Neither of those answers satisfies the question of how we're going to solve this problem. And neither of those answers satisfies the question of the humanitarian rights of people on either side of this conflict. Yeah. And so, I just feel like a lot of people they're struggling with that dissonance, and, you need to fucking get over it. The world is complicated. Not everything is cut and dry, black and white, a nice clean cut story where there's one side obviously in the wrong and one side obviously in the right. You don't get that here. Okay. you're not going to. And if you want to have an opinion on this subject, you need to accept the complexity of it. And otherwise, maybe you just need to shut the fuck up and do what you can to help.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, before we wrap things up, cause I don't have, like I said, I don't have, we always say, don't come to us for news like that. If you're tuning in here to catch up on what's been going on, you're fucking in the wrong place. But I will say, the reason that I did not sleep last night, the reason that I've been struggling so hard is because the world is kind of teetering on the fucking edge right now. And Israel's right now mobilizing to level Gaza. But there's so many things. There's so many fucking dominoes waiting right now. So
they also struck the airports in Syria twice this week.
There's that going on with Syria. There's fighting in the north of Israel with Hezbollah along the border with Lebanon. I don't know as much about that situation, but it is happening. And I know that there has been war between them in the past. Now, also, China, who is a serious fucking player on the world stage, China has said that Israel needs to stop what it is doing. That's not fucking good, because right now Iran is also saying that Israel needs to stop what it is doing. So again, this is why I can't sleep, is because if this situation continues to escalate because Israel has this, because Netanyahu has this fucking bloodlust, these things could all fuck. It's dominoes. Once one thing knocks over, if Iran does something to try and protect Palestinians and Israel fights back, then all these other countries fucking get involved. Then fucking China is on the other side that we are on. Like, this could literally be fucking World War III by the time this podcast is posted tomorrow. And I don't think it will be there, but like, it shouldn't be where it is right now. Like, this is beyond a reasonable response by fucking far. And something needs to be done to protect the Palestinian people. And this is, it's fucking scary. Did my phone, what the fuck did my Siri is just like, I'll save the Palestinians. What the fuck just happened? The last thing I want to say is there has been a lot of things being posted that look to be fake. A lot of it is coming from the Israeli government or people in Israeli power. Now, we've seen already just in the last week, one of the people that was at that music festival that people originally reported was sexually assaulted and dragged through the streets naked and killed. It popped up that her mom talked to her and she was just in the hospital. She's like, nah, I mean, like, not fine, but I'm fine. Like, completely fucking lied about her being murdered. Lied about her being sexually assaulted. Not to say that I know for a fact it hasn't happened anywhere, but all the reports that it has been happened have been refuted. There was also the story about 40 beheaded babies, which is a horrifying mental image, but it's also fucking not backed up by anything factual. And so there's this, especially with the way the internet works, there's incentives to post things that are inflammatory, and whether they're true or not doesn't actually make that much difference. You're getting the traction. Now, what I've seen in the last couple days is a few things posted directly from the Israeli government, which there was a photo that had a bunch of what was alleged to be blood on the floor. And then it's like pretty clearly it was just staged because there was blood on some paper that turned pink. That's not what blood does. Then there was another thing that was alleged Hamas battle plans that they found on a dead on a Hamas fighter that they captured or killed or whatever. And people were spending a lot of time pointing out that these things were fake. I want to say, I think, and Kennedy, I might be fucking wrong here. I think it's actually kind of a waste of time to point out that these things are fake, because whether or not they are fake does not change that what Israel is doing is completely unjustified. Think about it. Like the Hamas battle plans being fake. This was a very well-organized attack. I'm sure there was a fucking piece of paper with plans written on it. That doesn't change anything. If you know, the fact that Israel's posting these obviously fake things, I think the reason they're doing it isn't because they want people to believe it. It's because they want people not to believe whenever Palestinians post actual things happening. I think they want to create an air of, oh, you all this stuff coming out of there is doctored or fake or whatever. I think it's like a 5D chess move that they're like, some people will believe it and that's fine. Other people will stop believing everything.
Yeah.
I don't know. I might be wrong about that, but I feel like it's a waste of time to be pointing out fake shit like that at this point, because the people that believe it are just going to keep believing it, even if it is fake. It doesn't matter. And now we're talking about whether a piece of paper is real rather than 700, 800 Palestinian children have been fucking murdered this week. That's real. That's indisputable.
Yeah.
Who gives a fuck about whether or not whether Israel printed out a fucking MS Paint document or some shit, like, and pretended it was. It doesn't fucking matter. I don't know. I'm scared, Kennedy.
Yeah, me too. I do think that we need to fight disinformation, but I also think that, you can't start fighting the propaganda two decades later.
Yeah.
And then expect that to be the solution to the problem necessarily.
Yeah.
You've got to do more than just say, well, some of these things are fake. Okay, great. What else? Like what, you know, like, that's not really enough now. People have been pointing this stuff out for a long time, and in spite of it being pointed out, it's just become a more and more volatile issue that's become harder and harder to have an honest conversation about, regardless of how much it's been pointed out. So,
yeah.
So I think my final thought is, Jewish Currents, the editor-in-chief, wrote what I feel is one of the best statements about just trying to look at this from a somewhat balanced perspective, but also from an ultimately anti-occupationalist perspective, and how to try to hold all those truths at once, which is not easy. It's a really good piece. I think that if you want to actually get informed, maybe go there.
Yeah, and send me that link. I'll put it up in the replies. Also, I want to read it. Totally. And just my final word, just based on personal experience, what I would recommend listeners is don't keep looking for updates until 6 a.m. last night, because that, you know, I'm not feeling great today. That was what I did last night. Do as I say, not as I do.
For better or worse, whatever's happening is happening, and we can't do much to change it, which is the scary part, as we keep discussing in a lot of ways. But on the other hand, you're not going to help anybody by making yourself miserable staying up all night. So
yeah,
and take Andrew's advice. It's not worth it.
Yeah. And I appreciate all of you listening and supporting us each week. And, you know, hopefully next week will be slightly less worst than this one.
I mean, either way, we'll try to come back to be our normal selves this week. It just felt crucial to say something a little bit more serious this week about just how we're feeling about things, you know. Sometimes it's just hard to be funny. This is one of those times.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's all. Thank you again. And tune in again next week for more bad news.